I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Rebecca Atkinson-Lord, and you're listening to The Legacy Tapes, a series of podcasts discussing ideas of legacy and what it means to leave something behind in the ephemeral medium of theatre. And I'm here at Derby Theatre chatting to Sarah Brigham, who is the brilliant and indomitable artistic director here. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
So we've just been chatting for like 20 minutes before I remembered to press record, because that's how these podcasts work. So you tell me a little bit about what it was when you came here, because I feel like Derby Theatre has I feel like Derby Theatre has transformed in the 3 or 4 years since
three
you've
years
been here.
yeah just over 3 years.
So tell me what it was when you came here, what it was you wanted to see happen.
Gosh, I think the challenge was it didn't know what it was, really. So it had been a really successful producing house, you know, it had done some big shows and all of that kind of thing. But then it had had its period of darkness, shall we say. And then the university bought it. They tried to run it with another local operator for a bit. That hadn't totally worked out for them. And then they were just kind of stuck in a "we don't know what we want it to be" thing. And in some ways, I think that's kind of what attracted me to it. Like the link with the university and the link with learning and education and genuine commitment to its community that it sits within was what attracted me. And the opportunity to do something with that. And I guess what we went through, when I first arrived, I think I brought some things with me that are just values, really, just a set of values that I hold. But then I did a lot of talking to community, to the artists, to the people who worked here, some of whom had been made redundant like two or three times because of the history of the place. And all that then kind of synergized into, I guess, the vision that we're now doing.
And when you're thinking about, because there's something quite wonderful about being able to sculpt something anew.
Yeah.
Like, not many people get to do that. Mm. They have this weight, although I suppose it's a different kind of weight.
Yeah.
Always
take a theatre that's failing. You don't want to go in after someone who's done a great job, because then you're just up against it.
Whereas actually, it's really easy to be brilliant. Yeah. I get that.
Anything was going to be better than what had happened most recently to it. Sorry.
No. Do you know what? I'm totally with you. I'm absolutely with you on that. I may have followed some of those strategies myself. So when you're thinking about this place, do you think about long term? Like, are you thinking about what you want this to be in 10 or 20 or 50 years?
Yeah.
Or is it about day to day meeting those values?
It's both. When I very first arrived, it was, we had, I think I had something like 8 or 9 months before I had to put in the MPO application. And I was advised quite strongly from different quarters that it was unlikely that Derby would get back into the portfolio. And so I just kind of, so at that point it was head down and run, run for a vision, and just worked really, just worked at ensuring that there was a vision that we were heading towards, but that day in, day out, the staff and the people who worked here were totally bought into that. And I think that's the biggest thing that you do when you enter a building, is you take hold of the culture of the building. And I think especially with the vision as it is here, you know, this idea of learning and the art not being two separate tenements, that they're kind of completely intrinsically linked. Like, it was really vital that from day one, I took a hold of the culture within the building and said, actually, we don't have to run like a normal regional rep, you know. And I've worked in a lot where they're great places, but they're very, you know, they're very siloed. They work in their silos. If you work in one department, you don't ever step into another. You don't see your job as doing X, Y, or Z. And, you know, and sometimes for good reasons why that's happened and history and all those things. But it was really important on a day-to-day to go, actually, that's not what we're doing here. And making that really clear really transparent and really clear to everyone we employed and to the people who came into the building. But of course, in doing that, we had to have a vision of, like, you know, 10 years down the line, where is it we're trying to get to? But yeah, and I think actually the pressure of having that MPO application was really good, because it just meant I just had to, you know, there was no, I couldn't take any prisoners, really. It was just like, this is where we're going, this is what we're doing, let's have a conversation about it. But once we've had that conversation and you've offered your ideas, if you're not on board, then, you know, go and work somewhere else, because we don't have time for this. This is, you know, this is what we need to do now.
And I think that
just kind of set the course for us, really.
So talk a little bit about the learning and the art being fundamentally linked, intrinsically linked.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it comes from lots of different places. It partly comes from the fact that I've worked in education teams and always been the team that's down the corridor that everyone says is important, but actually you never get given any budget and no one ever comes to see the actual work you put on stage and all of those things. It comes from that. It comes from the fact that actually in theatre, we are a learning environment. And I think that's the biggest thing, like, especially with the technical team, when you start having that conversation, like, actually, most people don't go and study to be XXX. They, you know, they start because they go down the local village hall and someone goes, oh, do you want to rig a light? And they go, oh, yeah, all right then. And that kind of old-fashioned apprenticeship idea actually is very prevalent in theatre culture. So it's not an alien thing to us. Mm. It's just that I think we've talked about education and art as two separate things. Mm. And also just that thing that I think, you know, when you're making a piece of art, if your process is really well researched, really well thought through, really well, you know, considered, then your art is better. And therefore you are learning. And as an artist, you are learning. Mm. So I think that we've somehow ended up in a place where the education department and the artistic department are seen as separate. And I'm not quite sure how we've ended up there, because I don't think that they necessarily have to be. And in terms of, like, my interest, my political interest, in terms of different voices on stage and different people at the helms of organisations, like, that is only going to happen if your education team are absolutely on it. So, you know, as a girl from Hull whose parents didn't work in theatre, the only reason I'm working in theatre is because I went to Hull Truck Youth Theatre. And Damien Cruden, who was then the youth theatre director, it was free to attend. So, like, that was an amazing thing. He did really kind of relevant work with us, but he also did some Shakespeare and some, you know, other stuff that really stretched me and made me, you know, at the age of kind of 15, go, oh, right, OK, there's something outside of my sphere of knowing.
Mm.
And so I just kind of go, well, if that's what happened to me, then there's got to be 101 other people who that's as important to. But what we've done is we've kind of really looked at it from bottom up and from top down. So every single member of the staff goes through a training programme, an annual training programme, where we come together four times a year, everyone in the building. But we also, in between those four times a year, then have regular training to develop our teaching facilitation skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that even if you're a technician, you have been trained to say, okay, when you rig that light, how do you explain to a member of public who's stood next to you how you've rigged that light?
Yeah.
And, you know, for some people, that's not what they got into theatre to do, that's not what they want to do, and that's fine, then this isn't the building for them.
Mm.
But actually, once you get into conversations with people, they go, oh, yeah, well, that's how I learn. That's, you know, so why wouldn't I want to do that? Why wouldn't I want
to
develop that?
And until you can explain something to someone, you don't know how to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's really important. And what that means, because we come together to do that, also, is, like, we have four times a year when everyone in the building is together in these massive days that are just, like, really good fun. And, like, the first one was daunting. Like, I went in going, oh, there are going to be some people who absolutely do not buy into this. This is terrifying. But actually, because we got it right and because we thought about how to do it, they're now kind of, like, people look forward to them, because it's the time we come together and it's the time we talk about that, and we also talk about our organisation's values, and we talk about, you know, we celebrate success and we talk about what we could do better. And it just gives us a real opportunity to be on mission, really. And everyone from, you know, myself as the chief exec all the way through the organisation. People who work in finance, people who work in learning, as mm-hmm. it's, you know, officially told, people who work backstage, everybody takes part in that and understands their role within that. And then if I do suddenly go, actually, we've got a work experience placement from wherever this week, can they sit in finance for half a day? That person isn't freaked out and just goes, oh yeah, you know, stick them in a corner and give them some spreadsheets to look at. Actually, they understand what their role in that is, and that's part of their job description. So there's that side of it. And then it's about the art and how we actually create the art. And sometimes it is, you know, as any regional theatre, we choose to do shows for commercial reasons because we've got to make the numbers add up.
Mm.
But sometimes it comes from a learning agenda. So we had an interest, we were starting to have conversations with Bernarda's and about young people in care.
Mm.
It's a particular kind of passion of mine about offering opportunities to those young people. And at the same time, an English teacher came to us with a novel by Siobhan Dowd called Solace of the Road and said, oh, you know, this would be great to see this on stage because we want to study it with our kids. And so we went through about an 18-month process where we made our main stage production, an adaptation of that novel, in collaboration with young people who had gone through the care system, with Bernarda's, with a researcher from the university, with this English teacher who then developed a whole package of work for schools around Derbyshire. And that was one of our, you know, we only make three main house shows a year, but we committed our resource to that and said, okay, this is important. This is, you know, it's a piece of new writing and it's not going to do massive box office, but actually in terms of our agenda, it's answering a lot of things, and the benefits of this are much wider than what hits our bottom line. And of course, you then have to, you know, you have to match that up with a Brastoff or a Kez or a whatever it is that's going to really put bums on seats, and they're in themselves, you know, that they have kind of reasons for doing that and integrity. But it means that then there are times when you can really go, actually, the learning is driving the art, and I don't think it means that it suffers.
No.
Like, interestingly, our audiences loved that show. So, you know.
I think there's something about, because I think the best art is the art that asks questions about the world, and we all sit there in that space together and think about those questions.
Exactly.
And actually, when you look at learning as asking questions and figuring out the answers, it's all the fucking same thing.
Absolutely.
I think sometimes a lot of the language we use around it, like learning and participation and education, and it's like, actually,
it's not helpful.
No, yeah, it's just totally. We're just going to get together, we're going to ask questions, we're going to figure shit out.
That is exactly
which
it.
Which is just what art does.
That is exactly it. That is exactly it. And with our ushers, for instance, like you look at that and you go, so our ushers are the people who every night meet our audience.
Mm.
Why are we not talking to them about the work?
Yeah.
You know, like a really simple thing. Yeah. Like these ushers who come in on, you know, minimum wage to open doors and look after the safety of our audiences. You know, if there's a fire, they're the ones responsible to get them out of the building. But they're also the people who meet them every night and have the most conversations. I'm here some nights, but not every night. They know them by name quite often. And you go, right, so why are we not getting our rushers to know about that work and to talk about that work? And it's just, once you start to think about it in that way and not about, oh, this is a learning day when we just do a push.
Okay, so I think my next question is probably, because I'm conscious that we haven't got that much time, so there are two key questions I want to ask. So I think the first one is, why do you do this? You talk a lot about values, and I'm really conscious that values and ethics are central to what the hell I'm doing in arts.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why? Why are you here?
Because, like, genuinely, I think theatre changes the world. Like, I know it sounds like all of that, but that's what I genuinely think. And I think specifically, theatre in the regions has something really important to do. Like, you are a community centre. That's what you are. You're not just some venue that, you know, someone can go to, or they can go to 10 other venues. Like, actually, you're the option. You're the option in town. That's you. So you have to be there, and you have to be a church, a community centre, a gathering place. And I think when theatre, more than any other art form, you sit in a room together and you laugh together and you cry together and you have an experience together, and only you, 500 people that night, have that experience. Tomorrow is different. And something passes between actor and audience, and between audience member, and between actor, and all of those things, and that is totally unique. And I think that if every I think if every young person went to youth theatre as like obligatory national service, life would be a lot, our world would be a friendlier, happier, more thoughtful place. Like there was a report that said young people who go to youth theatre are more likely to vote.
Yeah,
that's how important it is. Like, that's how important.
And they started
it is.
Running improvisation classes in prisons and in all sorts of kind of marginal groups
because it engages the heart and it engages the mind and it engages your. It asks you what you think of the world. So I think in any piece of work that I make, even the commercial stuff that we do, because you know, often for financial reasons here, I do because it's got something to say. Like I chose to direct Kez because I wanted to say something about the education system. It was at that time of Gove, and I was just like, we're going back to that time. You know, Brastorf had a massive amount to say to this community, with the Kelly pit closing, you know, the last pit closing last year. So it's just like, that's why I do it, because I genuinely think theatre has a massive impact and has the opportunity to be an agent for change.
Tell me, for God's sake, eat your lunch. Okay, so many, many, many years hence, when you go from A, this place, Derby Theatre, but then B, much later, this temporal plane, what is it that you want to leave behind? Or what do you want? And you can interpret this in any way you want, because some people are like, I want, like John McGrath was like, I want a really fucking awesome, like, funeral, where everyone's like, that man changed my life.
Wow.
And then other people are like, I kind of want to, I want to disappear, but I want to leave a ripple. So you can interpret it as you like. What do you want to leave changed? Let's start with leaving Derby Theatre.
I think whenever you leave any organisation, especially when you've led it, it's really hard, isn't it? And I've been thinking a lot about legacy in relation to previous jobs. And there's a bit of me that goes, if an organisation fails after you've left or it doesn't do as well, have you failed? Because actually it's been dependent on you and you haven't empowered the people within you. And I think there is something in that, and I think I've possibly been guilty of that previously. So it's about how do you genuinely, you know, actually you leave a place and that place is not only still standing, it's thriving and it's ready to go in a new direction that's more exciting and even better and all those things. And even though on a personal level you might be a little bit like, oh, you're getting on well without me, I'm sad. Actually, that's what we should be aiming for, that's what we should be aiming for. So I think there's that. I think that you... I really hope that you inspire not just the next generation but a generation of, you know, artists or makers or people who've come into contact with that organisation whilst you've been there, that somehow you have taken them further along the path than where they were when they first met you. And maybe that you've discovered some of those people as well and unearthed and left a really vibrant ecology. And I think specifically for Derby, what I'd hope is that there is a really vibrant arts ecology. Because when I arrived, there was lots happening, but nothing spoke to anything else. And it felt like it was happening despite the theatre, rather than because of. Do you know what I mean? There was all these little companies doing stuff, but they weren't, you know, they were very disconnected from the central scene, and yeah, they were happening despite us, not because of us. And I'd hope that when I do eventually leave Derby, that actually they kind of feel like the doors have well and truly been opened, and actually this is their building, and that they have a stake, and that when the next person comes, they don't go with a begging bowl, going, oh, could you possibly, maybe, please? Yeah. They go and go, actually, it's your responsibility. Yeah, this is our place, and it's your responsibility to do that. In the biggest, grander scheme of things, God, that is so hard. I guess you just want to feel... I guess it does come back to that politicalised thing. I want to feel like people give a fuck about theatre, and that they've seen something that I've done or been engaged in something that I've done and gone, that sparks me to then do X. I guess that's what you want. Massive funeral, not really. just want everyone to have a nice drink and listen to some good music, probably. But yeah, just I guess that's what I think. And yeah, of course, from a personal point of view, as an artist, you want to make some great art. Mm. You just want to make art that changes people. Like the great art that I've seen, and I think that shows that I go, oh, that genuinely changed how I see the world. Like that made me think differently. And I guess that's what you want to do really with your work, is you want people to go, you know, or maybe not think differently, but to at least think, just to go away going, yeah, right, I'm going to think about that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to consider my place within that, I guess.
Okay.
That's a big question.
It is a big question, and it's a tough one because it makes you think about things you don't necessarily want to think about, but also I think there's something about...
Yeah, tomorrow I might have a really good answer.
Oh,
okay. It's a good question.
If you do, let me know. Yeah. Natalie Ibio, after I interviewed her, called me and left a couple of voicemails with the things she should have said. It's like, can we just slot this in?
Brilliant, amazing.
Which was awesome. Yeah, I think the thing, because I've been asking that question, I've been thinking about it a lot, in that I think the thing, I can't quite separate the thing I want to leave professionally from the thing I want to leave personally.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Which I think is that what I want from my existence is that where I am, this was better.
Yeah.
And whatever this is, this was, like, I want to have been a positive force for change somehow.
Yeah.
And I think somehow, because sometimes my art's really, like, in my head, I'm like, this is going to change how people think about children. And it probably doesn't. They probably don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But maybe... it was a little bit better because I thought about it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, totally.
And
any good theatre is when people leave the room talking. Like, you know, you don't want them just to go, oh, that was nice. So, should we go to Pizza Express? Do you know what I mean? You want them to leave the thing going, what did you think about that? I thought this. Oh, I thought this.
Oh, thing.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, and argue about it and feel like they can argue about it.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the things that I've been thinking about in this little era of doom that we're living in just now is this sense that there's no space to disagree and it'd be okay.
Mm.
Like, now we're so polarised,
so
if you disagree,
that is so
like,
true.
You know, you're either a liberal loony
or
you're a fucking Tory. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's
so
no
true.
Middle, there's no genuine conversation.
Actually, I can just have a different opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really true.
And I think about it a lot in terms of politics. Like, I think about some of kind of the more centrist politicians that aren't necessarily the people that I would vote for because of their ideologies, but I'm like, okay, I get that you're doing this because it's what you think is the best.
Yeah.
I get that, and I so respect you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I miss in political life, like that my faith in their in their commitment to doing the best.
To doing the best, whatever that
whatever
that
understanding
is. Yeah,
the best.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely.
So yeah, that chance
really
to
true.
Talk to each other. I hadn't really thought about that. That sense that maybe just the thing is that we all get to talk and argue about something.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
Mm.
Which is why it's so important that your front of house team.
Yeah, I'm ready for that.
Team.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they need to, they need to be ready for those conversations, don't they?
And last thing, who has been the most, because I feel like you're talking about whole track, like, who has left a legacy, who has left their mark on you?
I think, I, without a doubt, going to Hultra Eve Theatre. Yeah, totally not new. That's what made me go, oh, I can do this. Damien, God love him, was great, you know. He instilled a real discipline in us and an ambition. I think that was great. But gosh, there's been so many people. I had an amazing teacher at Breton, Linda. God, her name's completely gone out my head. And she really inspired me because she was probably the first woman that I met who was really strong, really talented, funny. She was just kind of like, oh, she's great, intelligent. She's great, and I think she made a massive impact on me. And then obviously there's bits of art that I've seen that you go, oh, that was, you know, that kind of changed how I thought about X, Y, and Z. But I think I think that those two people in teaching roles probably made the most impact, which is maybe then why I then think, actually, opening doors for
this
people
is the way to change the world.
Is the way to move things on. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like that's a nice place to stop.
Yeah. Oh, that was easy.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.